Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
What the fuck is with this guy? Who is he?
I'm your huckleberry.
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Everybody knows you never go full retard. You went full retard, man.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
So you smart, huh?
No.
I thought your hair would be bigger.
It says on your chart, you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
So just chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
You have smoked yourself retarded.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
And welcome to another Monday Night Master Debaters. We're back. We survived another, Indigenous Day now? You can't say the C word. We're not allowed to say Columbus anymore.
Happy Indigenous Day.
But we got a fun one tonight, guys. We got the guys from the Mind's Eye podcast here joining Ryan and I tonight. Welcome, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. Beautiful great day. Love to be here.
Yeah, thanks you for having us. I appreciate it.
Dude, we haven't had much contact, but I was like, man, I gotta get these guys on. And yeah. and I love what you're doing, because you guys talk about such a wide variety of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's right up this show's alley. Cause you know, I have my own podcast where I kind of do like deep dives into alternate history and shit like that. But this is our free for all. You know, we'd love to bring new people on and just talk about whatever. You know, we can go deep down conspiracy holes. We can go, you know, down health. Sometimes we go sports. We go all over the fucking place. So, but one of the things that you guys are into that I'm really interested in, because I know nothing about other than I watch it like retardedly, is TikTok.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the plague of our generation. Yes.
Yeah. We were just talking about this, and I'm retarded when it comes to TikTok. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand how to make the videos. I think they're cool videos, but you know, the more I start hearing it, it's another one of those algorithm based things. Right. And you guys we were talking about this before we started recording. Fucking shadow bans.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're over there too, huh? I see. The one thing I'll say is, before I'll let you guys take off after this, is a lot of people get big fast and then get axed, I noticed.
Yes. TikTok is like its own beast, because the thing about TikTok, which separates it from other social media platforms, is that not a lot of advertisers are on there. So all that free organic reach is now available to regular people. Because if you go to like a Facebook or Instagram, there's so many ads on there that they leave that reach for if you pay for that reach. You know what I'm saying? So that's why TikTok is so easy to blow up on. But it also is easier to blow up in your face as well, because you can blow up too fast and not know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's happened to a lot of people where they blow up so fast, they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get shit on from stuff they said 7 months ago. You know what I'm saying? It's really interesting. But another thing that was interesting about TikTok is, yes, they do have shadow bans. And I feel as though they're more like different from other social medias, because with TikTok, they won't even like, I know a shadow ban is not, they're not supposed to tell you that you're shadow banned, but it's so unexpected. Like, you would spend hours making this one video that's like a minute long, because our attention spans are like goldfish. And then you put it online and then you get nothing for like 3 hours. And you're like, what the hell happened? And then it randomly goes away. You don't know when it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you. You can't message them. I actually messaged them and they were like, oh, it's because your content isn't good. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Like, if my content's not good, then who cares? Like, why does it need to be censored? Like, that's the thing that is so funny about these censors is, like, whether it's good or not, whether it's right or wrong, why can't I decide that? Why are you now the thought police and are the ones with the decision whether that information even gets to people or not? And that's what's fucking crazy, because we all know that old senile raggedy thing sitting in, you know, Delaware most yeah. of the time, sometimes in the White House, spits the most misinformation out there. You know, I mean, this guy is just on a regular, just spitting bullshit out there, but yet they don't censor him. But you or I can quote a legitimate doctor or go to research papers and like you say, put time into making a video, putting a show together. And all it takes is them to say, nope. And it's out of the algorithm and you have disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Side note real quick. Delaware actually just made voting by mail no go. So, I mean, what does that say about like how this last election goes? Your dude comes out of this state and then now you're like, oh shit, we're embarrassed of this guy. So we're not going to let this kind of thing happen anymore. That's according to like, you know, the theory. I'm sure there's some other deeper theater behind it. But it's kind of interesting that Delaware is saying that, you know, we're not going to do vote by mail no more at all.
Dude, that's hilarious, man.
Right? It's a bad look.
But it's so fitting for this time, right? Yeah. I mean, everything is so upside down and backwards. Like, this guy gets in probably because of bullshit mail-ins. Now his state is going to ban mail-ins. It's just...
That's interesting. I did not know that.
I think, like, what Josh is trying to point out is TikTok is this whole new beast, and I don't think a lot of people have caught on to it yet. Even though TikTok's been out for a few years, yeah. TikTok is still rolling down this hill and accumulating its snow. It's just a bigger and bigger and bigger snowball. And I think what TikTok itself and a lot of politicians themselves are realizing is that it's becoming a huge and powerful tool in this country. You have the vast majority of this population, especially young people who are consuming TikTok for, I kid you not, hours a day, yeah. The majority of their day. And they're stuck on this and they're consuming everything that they see. So where I guess on TikTok's behalf, where that comes into play is, you know, if you're consuming content and you consume the wrong content, you're very easily suggestible. So they implement these restrictions, or these subtle restrictions, I would say, that prevent people from spreading certain types of information. And it's unfortunate because, you know, if you slip up even a little bit, you can get shadow banned. And like Josh has said, we've experienced that where we've tried to promote, you know, what we thought was good knowledge, what we thought was factual knowledge, and we weren't given any indication, and they just shut our account off. And
now, is this related to medical, quote unquote, misinformation, or is this like factual, you know? Like historical type stuff, political.
Yeah, it was kind of like historical, political stuff, because that's when we posted that video when the Pandora papers got leaked, like literally the day after and stuff. And then we posted a video about it. We're like, yo, let's get this video out there. Let's get some views on it. And it started going pretty well. And then we just got smacked in the face with the shadow ban.
Yeah.
Like, usually the way TikTok works is that it's unnatural for a video to just immediately stop getting views. It will slowly die down. Like, you'll get a few hundred this day, a couple thousand next day. This one just hit 70,000 and it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It was like, what the hell is going on? that it could at that rate, it should have gone viral. You know what I'm saying? But then we was like, okay, what was going on? And then, you know, we realized that we were talking about the Pandora Papers, and our video was actually one of the ones that got one of the most views, and then it just stopped.
So what's it take to go viral?
Oh man.
Ooh, that's a lot. That
we're still trying to figure out.
Well, no, like what's the, I mean, not like that.
The threshold.
What's the number usually? Oh,
you technically
set out a plan.
Technically, yeah. Like a viral video is anything above like technically 500,000 views.
Yeah.
So that's technically viral. And then when you hit like a million, that's when you get to like, okay, like you're about to hit more people like than you thought you were going to hit. Like once you hit the million, is like you're viral at that point, but it's not super viral. It's like a different level. Like super viral is like tens of millions of views.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But regular viral is like 500,000 to a million. And there's actually a lot of metrics that go into that and how you can even reach those numbers in the first place.
Yeah. TikTok.
Go ahead, dude.
No. Yeah, I was just going to say TikTok kind of has like their own metrics when it comes to that. Like it's very detailed. Like they take into account the length of your video and how many people fully watch your video, how long people stick around for. There's a lot of things that you have to think about when creating a TikTok video.
Me and this guy had like a 2-hour meeting breaking down how to get someone to watch a video for 1 minute. That's like how that's how lucrative it is.
For 10 seconds, actually.
We're like, yo, how can we get someone to watch here to this length? You know, oh, look, someone fell off at 20 seconds. We got to fix that. It's so lucrative. It's insane.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
but
real quick.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Real quick. I mean, I hadn't formally met you guys yet. Who am I talking with here along with Matt?
I'm Josh. I'm the host of The Mind's Eye. And this is Sean, my co-host.
Josh and Sean.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good to meet you guys. I'm Ryan.
Nice
yeah, dude. I wanted to just meet you guys formally, at least as formally as we could.
Yeah.
I'm real curious with TikTok. I actually have a lot of problems with it, the way that it runs. And obviously, I mean, this is, you know, Monday Night Master Debaters. I'm sure that we'll kind of go back and forth on this whole thing. The Pandora Papers topic that you guys feel like you were banned over. I actually heard about that at first from Tim Dillon, one of the biggest podcasts in the world, right?
Yeah.
And so why would he not get shadow banned over talking about this when this dude, you know, he breaks bread with Joe Rogan. You know, I have my own theories about him. Dillon is kind of like a Rothschild name over in Ireland, which, you know, he's an Irish dude. You can basically say that Dillon, the way that it's spelled, is like a Rothschild or Rockefeller over in that country of Ireland, right?
Okay.
So elite dude. I have my own conspiracies about him and his show, even though I'm a big, big fan. He's one of the people I subscribe to on Patreon. Do you feel like it's possible? I mean, I have a conspiracy show. Do you think that it's possible that like these shadow bans and things like this, because they're always temporary? Do you feel like the shadow bans are there to make you as creators feel like you're putting some dangerous information out there or something that the government might go against? But like I said, it's temporary. You get to come back and you're getting out to a lot of people that aren't necessarily watching the content. This is always my pet peeve with TikTok is people will have like 70,000 followers there, but then like 1,000 on Instagram.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know that was a lot there, but I'm just curious as to what you guys think about all that.
Yeah, I think to be honest, like for someone like Tim Dillon to get like shadow banned, like shadow ban usually works when you're trying to reach new people. If you have like an established audience, like they can't really do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? Like once you put like for instance, like podcasts, there is no like algorithm to find podcasts and stuff. You just put your stuff out and people who follow you get it. There's no like they can't stop that. But if you're trying to reach new people and you're talking about certain things, yes, you can get shadow banned. And I believe the shadow ban is meant to, yes, stop certain information from getting out. They kind of have like vague guidelines on what things you can't talk about. Like, you know, to be honest, there is some pretty fucked up shit on TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that is like very extreme that we wouldn't, you know, go that route. But that those rules then bleed into content that is not extreme, but it's still talking about things they don't like. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a foot in the door. But not fully in the door yet. You know what I mean by that?
I feel like I know what you mean, but I like the interpretation in my own way. And this is me being like on a conspiracy edge, I suppose, because I have no evidence to support this. But I just want to be as free opinionated as I can. But sometimes I felt like along the way, when we were growing our channel, it was almost used as a form of discouragement. And we talked about that a little bit before we started recording, how discouraging it can be to be shadow banned and to put so much work into a video as a young growing creator, and how that could, might prevent somebody from wanting to achieve higher and higher results. And I guess Tim Dillon, like Josh was saying, he already has that following, so it's easier for him to not get shadow banned if he has all those people. But at the early age, we were relying solely on the TikTok algorithm for us to be pushed out to those people. So when we weren't being pushed out, we weren't getting any views at all. There was no followers, no fan base to really follow us along that process of going through that shadow ban. So, you know, I want to say that maybe they were doing it to just discourage younger creators from getting into the scene and putting their opinions out there. Because not only were we talking about this topic, but we were also adding our own opinions and correlating them to other conspiracy theories, other subtle details that other people might have missed. Maybe that was dangerous, you know, who knows. Yeah. Maybe it was,
well,
just
sure dangerous. I mean, you never, like Matt was saying earlier, you never know what actually gets you, what hits a red flag, because there's no human being sitting there listening to all of our videos and then determining what gets banned and what doesn't. It's an algorithm, and sometimes these algorithms get tripped up and then they flag your page, they shadow ban it, they'll put you in a gray area, a black area, or a white area depending on how you're banned, right? Mm-hmm. Now I just find it kind of interesting where, you know, people like Tim Dillon, they'll get YouTube videos removed, right? They'll get all kinds of interference like that. I'm wondering if it's more topic related or if it's more of the show. That's what I'm curious about with this, because there's just so many unanswered things with TikTok, obviously coming from China. I heard really recently that they show Chinese kids, I believe it's owned by Huawei, or no, ByteDance owns TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. So ByteDance is basically CCP, Chinese Communist Party, and they show Chinese kids like how to start a business in these short little videos. And they show them all kinds of like truly motivational things.
Yeah, they're all empowering videos, right?
What?
It's all empowering and positive videos.
Empowering, positive stuff. And here in the United States, they're showing conspiracies. They're showing goofy stuff. They're showing people dance.
Debauchery.
They're showing all kinds of wild shit. Yeah, circus shit.
Those, what are those? That stupid pyramid challenge? People are running
around. Well, that was everyone themselves. Fucking egg crates. Yeah, the milk crates.
Yeah, the egg crate challenge, the milk crate challenge.
Fuck, man.
Weird. It's definitely true. They definitely purposely changed our algorithm because, in my opinion, you know, we are technically like, you know, fighting each other on any way. So they want to like make the population of us not as sharp as their population. That's how it's done. So like they show their citizens things that are essential, and then they show us stuff that don't matter.
Yeah. Like, the bullshit. All of
this is bullshit. Yeah. 10 hours of bullshit scrolling.
Females all over their page. We tested this too, where you start a page and it's just a bunch of, you know, like random crap, like females, you know, just doing the craziest stuff, or people doing silly challenges. And it's actually really interesting that you mentioned that. And I'm kind of curious what TikTok might actually look like in a place like China, because to also answer your other question, how TikTok operates, I would say in the US specifically, because that's the only thing that we can attest for.
Sure.
It's very, very short content. You have to be super quick with engaging people, because people's attention span, at least here, is just super, super minute.
It's horrible.
And like we mentioned before, we spent like a couple of hours talking about how to engage people in the first 5 to 10 seconds of a video.
It's almost like you need a catchphrase, right? Or something to reel them in.
If you look through our videos, you'll start to see where we started to develop a hook for our videos. You know, a while ago, we were talking about what we thought was informed content, but they didn't have a hook to really engage people. And we kind of had to, not in a bad way, but kind of had to dumb it down a little bit, kind of had to get straight to the point, give people the value, tell them what to expect. You're going to get this, and, you know, give it to them, as opposed to really dragging people along and giving them the in-depth conversation that I feel like a lot of people really need. Yeah. I feel like it just had to be quick, short form content and dumbed down.
But that's a great combo. You could manifest it with your podcast, right? Where you put out the smaller little clips through TikTok, but the deeper discussion then comes out throughout your podcast, right? Yeah. And that's that marriage that if you can make those two work, that's the gravy right there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was laughing because there's this guy, there's a chef kind of dude on Instagram that I started following recently. And every video that he does, he's a Southern chef and he's a white dude, super white, pasty, like clear skin white. And this dude opens every video right when you scroll into it. He goes, "Yes, sir." Like, it's just the weirdest sound. And it's like, have you seen that dude?
Yeah.
He's great. And it's catchy. And, you know, it's like, what the hell is this motherfucker up to here, you know? And I mean, he's making real basic food, but I'm really attracted to the channel. I'm just curious as to like what. And I'm not picking on people that are TikTok, and I think that it's great if you find a platform and you enjoy doing it. I just wonder what it's doing to our society, trying to feed into that quick algorithm.
This guy, how about this catch line?
Oh, my days. Oh, my diddy.
What is it?
Oh, my
diddy.
And then he goes, "Oh my diddy." That's how he opens every video. Like he's just shocked. We'll do it one more time here.
Oh my days. Oh my diddy. Oh my diddy.
See, I feel like that's too slow for a lot of people.
There's his 10 seconds to suck you in, right? And most people, like they were saying, most people would be gone by now, but somehow he sells it, right? He keeps you on the edge.
Or does he?
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's either going to.
It depends.
That's the magic of it, right? Who knows? Does he keep you or do you move on?
I'll find this fucking page, Southern Chef, right now, and I'll share it because I know that these guys heard of it. I don't know if you've seen it, Matt. The dude is a clown, but I love his channel, and I don't know if that's a good thing. And I don't know what that says about me, and I don't know what that says in.
About society. You're getting consumed on TikTok.
Yeah.
The horrible track.
No, I don't fuck with TikTok, man. To be honest, I really don't like TikTok, but that doesn't mean that so many people, you know, do. And I think, you know, if you can make it work for you, if you feel like you're not getting, you know, 99% bots, you know, interacting with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then I think it's a good way to potentially capitalize. Me personally, I just think that TikTok does a lot more bad for content creators than it does good. That's just me.
Yeah, it definitely does. Because when you get someone so used to your short form content, they're not going to really want to see your long term content. And that's a problem YouTube Shorts is having right now.
You're right.
Because YouTube Shorts just launched and stuff. And people are like, "Oh, we're getting like 100,000 subscribers in like 15 days. But when you post a longer video, you only get like 2,000 views."
Yep.
You know, it's like that's not natural. So, it definitely does hurt you as a content creator. You need to find a way to convert your short form content to long form content. And I feel podcasts do a good job with that.
Yeah, podcasts are good. And there are obviously some YouTube channels that do a good job of it. But I'm noticing a lot more, even on the YouTube side, people go into that 7 to 10 minute format now. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, videos that used to be an hour long. Now they've condensed it down to like 7 to 10 minutes, hitting high level points. And it's almost like, you know, it's steps, right? You start at TikTok with the minute. Then you're going to go, okay, then I'll give you maybe a short that's like 90 seconds. Then, okay, now I'll give you a 7 to 10 minute. Then if you're really interested, now here's the long form. And that's kind of almost how you have to, leave breadcrumbs out for the people to get to your stuff.
Yeah, it's like a funnel. Okay.
Look at this fucking dude and listen to him, okay? I'm going to have to click him real quick.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a Master Debater. Peppers,
ain't... All right.
So my Cajun sea. Yes, so this white chicken chili. So people. Yes, so this Cajun dirt.
Everyone, I'm clicking.
So that Halloween dirt cake is
the Halloween dirt cake. He's just going in and he's just talking. Let's go, baby. Man.
Yes, so this Cajun dirty rice is an absolute panty dropper. Let's go, baby. Woo. 1 pound ground Italian sausage. Get that cooked down. Add in that Holy Trinity. Celery, bell peppers, and onion. With that garlic. 1.5 cups of long grain rice. Rice mixed in. 5 cup chicken stock. And hit it with 2 bay leaves and bring it to a rolling ball. Cut that fire down to low. Cover it up for 30 minutes. Time's up. Oh, bitch, you looking brand new. Ooh, talk about some kind of good.
Instagram,
just look at that thing.
You better try.
You better try it. That's how he ends all of them.
He's got it all down, man.
It's all about that, though. That's that generation we're in now. You got to have a hook, or you got to reel these people in, because these kids. My niece is into the, she's 10. She's into the whole TikTok dance thing, you know, that little 10, 15 second bullshit they do with their friends. And it's like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it. It's the same dance, it's just different songs, different hand, you know, it's all this shit. Like, but these kids, they have to do it. And she's cranking out like 15 videos a day. I'm like, when do you do anything else?
Oh my God. So look, why don't, instead of us trying to like fucking, like, you know, cater to this crazy shit. You know, I know you do this, Matt. I know that, like, Bob, people like this, they're raising their kids to not be like this. You know, they're raising their kids to be like, okay, this doesn't make any fucking sense. You know, people, dude, when you go to, like, I saw Kim Kardashian booze raining down on this bitch at the Los Angeles Rams game, right? When these people go out in public, they should not feel safe. I don't care if it's Kim Kardashian or a politician. Kanye West, any of these people, none of these people should feel safe going outside, because they're just feeding into the short attention span that's going to end up making us fucking weak as a society. We're already very weak.
We're there, dude. They've already. Man,
I think that we can get a lot worse, though.
Yeah, we're on the border of idiocracy. You know, we reference that all the time, but this shit's real. I mean, we're just.
So, do we want to go all the way?
No, but. I'm with you. How do you pull that plug? Like, how do you
kids teach the kid? It's too late for this right now. It's gonna get worse for 10 years, maybe 20. But let's teach these kids that have to teach the kids, dude. This is not the way to go. Don't pay attention to this fucking shit. You know, get into other shit. I mean, even me saying this right now, I follow that dude's channel, right? But let's get into like, hey, long form content. Let's be smart about this. It might take a sacrifice, but you'll get into, you know, I think the investment in the country. And, you know, if you have kids out there, I don't. I know you do, Matt, but there might be a better future for these kids if we start like pounding this shit home right now, you know?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, but what's the whole agenda of the other side right now? It's to break up the nuclear family, right? It's to break up the family so these kids don't have a solid base, so they can pervert them with all this TikTok nonsense, because the parents are too busy working that when they get home and they need 5 minutes, they just say, fine, take the phone. And what the kids do, kids go to TikTok, right? And that's it's all part of this rat race they got us in. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough raising kids these days, because it is so easy to just say, take that phone, you know, for 5 minutes. And a lot of them now, you can't really filter what they're going to see. And they could see anything. And all it takes is one video to fuck them up pretty good, you know. And that's the sad part about it.
Have you guys seen that Grim Cuddy movie?
Grim Cuddy? No. I don't think so.
It sounds dumb, but it's good. Like the concept of it, it's a little like hyped up. It's you know, kids that get, there's like a, you know, I don't know if you guys heard of Creepypasta, like where those, these weird like online.
I used to watch those. It's
kind of cool, you know, but like there's this weird, almost like an online cryptid called Grim Cuddy, and Grim Cuddy makes people want to kill themselves and like peer pressures them into doing like online trends. And these kids basically like get addicted to their phones in this movie, and they can't be separated from their computers or their phones because they have to know what's going on with Grim Cuddy. And the parents get involved, and it turns out the more that the parents get involved, the crazier Grim Cuddy gets. But it just shows in this really cool way how these online trends are fucking with kids. Like the kids are having withdrawals from not seeing Grim Cuddy on their screen. It's fucking weird, dude.
Yeah,
it's
a that good goes movie. Into that whole that's that gets weird. Back into what's his name, that, wow, the Netflix guy,
what's his shoot. Name
something, is it Bernays?
Edward Bernays.
We go back to Bernays, right? This is all that mind control MK Ultra shit that stems from the Nazis. You know, and that's what this is. And it's funny because, you know, I know, Rye, you hate fucking Yuri Bezmenov and you think he's a shill, but, you know, there were people predicting this shit back in the 70s and 80s saying that this is what's coming. And, you know, you're going to be told the truth and deny it because it's not what you're being told on the news. And that's where we are now.
I don't hate Yuri Bezmenov, Matt. I just think that he was put there for a purpose. And I think that he's put there so that people can be like, see, this is what's going on. But none of us are going to do anything about it because we're just seeing it. And we're like, you know, it's just a way to get people to point it out and be like, this is the plan. But then the other side will be like, you're crazy because politics are so, you know, polarized. One side, you know, mostly people that are voting for Trump and seeing things from a conservative perspective are saying Yuri Bezmenov is telling us that the Russians are trying to infiltrate our culture. And then the left, just because they have to be the opposite of the right, will say that's not true.
Yeah,
I think that's why he's there.
Now, you got any guys listen to the Rogan interview with Roger Waters last week?
Oh, no, actually, I haven't.
I highly, anybody out there, too, that's listening, I highly recommend this interview. Roger Waters is one of the most base guys out there when it comes to this shit. And he's been on it forever. But he went on and on about this because one of the big things is, you know, nobody's calling these people out on their bullshit, you know, and as soon as you do, you get censored, you get shadow banned, you get blocked. And he's like the whole, you know, and his whole concept, you know, that his mother ingrained in him when he was young was read as much as you can and read as much as you can on both sides of the argument so that you're educated and then you're able to do the right thing.
Thank you for saying that too.
Yes.
Especially because there right? are so many people, just like you said, just one or the other, or it's because it's the other, it has to be wrong if you're on the other side. It's like so black and white. And that's not reality. The reality, we're on a complete spectrum of ideas. And I love that you said that because I guess that's what we try to propagate in this show is there is no blue or red. Right or left, you know, you can identify like on either side, like wherever you feel more strongly preference. But the reality is you can adhere to ideals anywhere in between the two. You know, you don't have to believe this just because you're a conservative or a liberal or a Republican, whatever you want to affiliate with. It's whatever really means true to you. And in order to do that, you need to have an open and honest discussion. You can't be biased in your ideas. You need to really resonate with whatever speaks true to you, not just because somebody else said that you have to be part of this group and you have to believe this, this, or that. And we want to break that barrier in the show. We even me and Josh, we have completely different ideals, but we still talk to each other with utter respect.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, whatever he might see true might be true. What, you know?
Yeah. And that's the point of this show too, was to get different people on with different opinions. But guess what? We can fucking talk about it. And yeah. nobody's gonna sit here and can't have a discussion. So they just start saying, oh, you're retarded. That's stupid. You know, just throwing names out. Cause once somebody starts throwing names out, you know, you got them. Yeah, they, exactly. They've lost any yeah. power to discuss now. Yeah. And it's gotten emotional. And yeah. that's the problem with our discussions today. Everybody has to get emotional because it's all about your feelings. Well, guess what? Nobody gives a shit about your feelings in reality, right? In real world, in this make-believe that we're playing now. Yeah, your feelings and your pronouns and all that shit, that really matters. But in real life, the one that I'm playing in, that doesn't mean anything. It's all bullshit. It's all make-believe. And we got to get back to that because this nonsense has got to stop. And it's really perverting everything because people are so ingrained to being on a side. Right. Like you said before, left or right, blue or red, it don't matter. It should boil down to right or wrong. Right. And what do you feel in your gut when you make that decision? If it's the right thing for you, boom, you made the right choice. If not, you got to move on and you got to deal with that. But the other problem is there's no consequences anymore. So you can get away with doing stupid shit and not have to pay the price a lot of times. And that's a thing that's really got to change because there has to be consequences for your actions, you know, positive and negative. And I don't think there are in a lot of cases. I think they just go ignored.
Should we get back to the time where presidents used to have to duel and like shoot each other?
Hell yeah.
I think so, dude, because that's like, I mean, it makes sense, man. If someone's going to run the country, but they're not willing to take a bullet for it, like, fuck them. You know, I think it makes sense.
How great would a pay-per-view Trump Biden duel?
I'll pay for it.
Oh my, let's go. I mean, come on.
What kind of numbers
now
is that doing?
Get this up right now, guys. Let's do it.
even if it's nerfed, I don't care. I want to see this shit. Or paintball
guns.
Let's
dude
do it. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Even five paces, turn, and you know what? The problem is somebody's going to dangle like an ice cream cone or something, and Biden's going to fucking take off.
Now, Biden's going to take eight steps while, you know, they'll take five steps. He's going to take eight steps. But, yeah, man, you know, I think that, you know, you brought something up, too, like, obviously, with the polarization that we're talking about. The I was looking at this Albert Pike idea where they see the nihilists and the atheists the same way that they see the Christians, right? They see the people that are super, you know, all these people are zealots in one way or another. If you believe in nothing, that's still a belief, right? It's kind of like the idea, like, you know, hate isn't the opposite of love. Apathy is the opposite of love. Not giving a shit about somebody is the opposite of loving them, not hating them, because you're still thinking about them in a certain way. So love, apathy, right? Christianity, atheism. Political, apolitical. If you're apolitical, I think there's a whole political class that is forming right now, and we're in the middle of it. There's this whole political class that is apolitical. And I honestly think in a weird way, this is playing into some sort of agenda. This is why you have Biden in the White House right now. Why there's a separate White House location that is a green screen, basically, or a stage setup, like a, you know, old school sitcom where there's a crowd that's off camera. And then there's the whole set right here. It seems like everything that's going on right now is 100% according to plan. Just to me right now, it's how it seems. I don't know how you guys feel about that, including you, Matt. I mean, like, I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I'm real curious how you guys feel about it. Just the idea that everything is going 100% the way that these elites want it. And I think that the end goal is a one world society, a one world religion, one world economy, one world, you know, currency. Everything is to consolidate power. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Interesting. Actually, the one thing we actually talk about in our show is balance. You know, we believe in balance. And, you know, well, I personally believe, I don't know if you should believe in Sean, but I believe in balance in all things. And I definitely believe that there is something going on, but I don't believe that everything in that spectrum is also being coordinated. There is a lot of things that are being coordinated. That's true. But there's also a lot of things that just cannot be coordinated. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard to control 8 billion people 100%. You can control certain aspects of their lives, like rent, food, you know, stuff that, you know, you control the companies for. But there's certain things that you just can't put your hand in. You have to, like, you know, throw the thing out there and see if it works. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely a lot of things going on, but I also believe that not everything is also a lie either. That's the thing about lies and truth, is that the reason why lies work so well is because there's truth in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you kind of, like, we're in this age right now where we're like ripping apart statements to try to find the crumbs of truth in there. And you're like, damn, is everything a lie? But that's where people go wrong, because not everything is a lie. And that's what's hard to fight in this generation, is like, okay, what's completely truth? What's completely lie? They're very blended together. So it's kind of hard to find out what's really going on. And I think that's kind of the way it's always been.
I guess I'm wondering, just out of curiosity, like, what would be the end goal with this one world civilization, I suppose? Because I never really gave that into much thought. Like, where is this leading to us? I guess I'm kind of like in the moment, I guess, just experiencing it as we go. I'm seeing how ridiculous it is. Don't get me wrong. But I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, what is that end goal? Like, what are they trying to achieve with this consolidated force, like you're saying?
I think that it's the same concept. I'll try and make this, like, quick. I think it's the same concept of, like, Europe forming the United, or the European Union, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the world forming the United Nations, right? Like, if you have, after World War II is when the United Nations forms. So the idea with the United Nations forming is that, you know, we just had this horrible world war where, I mean, we almost got wiped off the map. The United States just dropped this massive bomb I don't think it was really a nuke, but you know, this massive bomb got dropped on Japan. What happens if this technology continues to grow and there's these two sides that hate each other so much? We need to make a one world so that there's no more war, right? Now, what happens when there's no more war is the power structure gets consolidated more and more. And all that it takes is one crazy son of a bitch, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, for the other side too, Donald Trump, somebody like that, that is so egotistical, that'll say, I control everything right now. There's one religion, and not religion, you're shot. If you're not gay, wow. if you're not hetero, you know, because obviously, you know, we see this in where the fuck is Hamzat Shemaev from? I can't believe I'm blanking on this, Matt. Chechnya, you remember?
Right?
Chechnya. In Chechnya, they kill gay people. At the global stage, it would be the opposite. Maybe if you're straight, they kill you, right? They can, if there's one world leader, they have it however they want. And maybe this is fear porn. I tend to think that for right now, in the short term, it is. But it seems like this is going in this direction. That's the way I see it. And I think that if it's in the Bible, I think that this biblical stuff, the elites tend to follow. They seem to not necessarily believe in God, but they definitely believe in the devil, and they believe in Satan and Lucifer for sure. So I think that they're trying to follow this, and they're trying to bring on this whole thing. And if that's the case, then they believe that the Antichrist will be the one world leader. And I think that, you know, they're trying to get us to this point where we're all kind of digital slaves. That's what the metaverse is. That's what our surveillance is. You know, Big Brother, all this shit. I don't think there will be war necessarily, but every single person, if you don't have a ton of money and you're not already connected, you're going to have a pretty dismal life, and you're not really going to be able to do this stuff that I hope that we talk about later, where like you can have a side hustle and have these ambitions of being able to like move up from classes. I'm middle class right now, hard middle class, like a hard middle. I hope that I can get to the upper middle class, and then like hopefully I can get to like upper class by the time I die. And then maybe have a kid, and that kid will be pretty set up, and I'll transcend classes. But that won't be possible in this like one world government type situation. I know that's a long answer, but I think that it's just control. I think that's what the one world government is about, control.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on certain points. Yeah, like that's where the theory goes as into the goal. But in my opinion, like it sounds like a good idea on paper if it was decentralized, like if there wasn't a one world leader, you know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like a good idea. There's no war and stuff, but in sure. You know, the way humans are raised or we evolved to, that's not a thing that could be done right now. So yeah, it does sound scary when you bring up the idea of one world peace. Cause I know a lot of spiritual people are like, oh, this is a great idea. We should have a one world civilization. You know, in the past, you know, we've had theories about one world civilizations before, and they sounded like pretty good, but you know, it has to be decentralized. In my opinion, it can't be just one person, you know, calling the shots and anything.
Have you guys messed around with the idea of Tartaria at all?
Yeah, I have a book on it. I haven't fully read it.
It's and that's not the James Lee book, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that book, but I also have other references too. I have other references too.
Right? Okay.
I only bought that book because it seemed interesting. And, you know, obviously I want to see all sides of the same argument. I wanted to see if that guy knows what he was talking about. And there was some interesting points in there, but that was the civilization I was referencing when I said that there were one world civilizations before.
Well, the reason why I bring that up is because I was listening to a podcast today. Actually, Crow 777 had Wooden Nichols and Ewar on there. And they were talking about how they believe now that Tartaria is a psyop to get the, you know, get it out there in ether, the idea of this harmonious, you know, glorious one world society, and getting people in that mindset of the one world of people. Now, in all the Tartaria stuff I've ever heard, you know, they talk about all the great tech and stuff, but never talked about how great the people's lives were. That's right. True. I still haven't heard that. So I, you know, when I hear a theory like that, that maybe it is a psyop, it starts making me look at these little areas. Now I'm one who I've never bought into the concept of Tartaria itself as, you know, I think it's a land in Asia. You know, I don't think it was this one world civilization. Now, I think at one time it's possible there was, you know, interconnected civilizations across the realm. I mean, we see evidence of that with architecture and, you know, math and things like that, that went around the world at times that it shouldn't have, supposedly. But
dude, if Tartaria is like martial arts, it's, or I'm sorry, if like the old world stuff's martial arts, seems like Tartaria is like karate. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like that's where I put generic. It, you know, but on the other side, there's people that put it up there with like jujitsu, you Ooh, know, really? Where it's yeah. like one of the stronger.
End all be all.
And I'm like, ah, and that's always been my thing with it, because, and I have some friends who are real religious, and they get into the religious side of it with the whole idea of just some word meanings like Tartarus and things like that, which means, you know, hell and land of hell, land of fire and hell and things like that. And you start looking into it a little more. So I've never really bought into the whole idea of it, but I thought the concept of it being a psyop and the fact that getting us to think one world, I was like, holy shit, I've never thought of it from that angle before. And that's a real interesting angle to take it from. Now, whether I believe it or not, who knows? I mean, everything could be a psyop these days, you know, anything that's put out there. Right. Anything that gets the collective thinking about it, it could have been put out there intentionally.
Wow. True. Well, I'm kind of curious, though, like I know you don't have like a formal opinion about it, but I was watching a little bit of your episode when you went into a little bit of the background of Tartaria. And one of the things that struck me the most is I don't know if this is a bad interpretation of it, because the entire thing is like written in Old English, if I'm not mistaken, but it kind of sounded like they were this very, very primitive, not in like a technological way, but very, very barbaric, very, very unforgiving towards their enemy. And I think that the specific part that spoke out to me the most is when all these different kings and kingdoms tried to cross through there, and they were just decimated, just completely decimated. So when you speak of the idea of it becoming a psyop, and you also mentioned like we never really talked about like how these people were in society, did you ever find something that like talked about like who these people were, like aside from war, aside from, you know, battling the enemies, who they were just within themselves?
Oh yeah, I went back and found a lot of old texts from basically 1600s to like the late 17, early 18s, when they basically got eliminated. And what you'll find is, like you were saying, they were almost the readings that I found, they were kind of nomadic people. Mm-hmm. There were some, you know, there were a couple city states, you would say, like Tobolsk was their capital. They had a couple other bigger cities, so to speak, but they were mainly not nomads, but they lived off the land. Mm-hmm. So, and they were, you know, depending on what period in time, they were pretty ruthless. You know, you get into the Khans, you get into the Mongols, they were all Tartarians. And Dan Carlin, he does, you know, oh God, I think it's like a 5-part series. It's probably like 10, 15 hours. On Genghis Khan and the Khans. And he changed the way I looked at it too, because he was talking about the Tartars, right? And he talks about these, they were kind of this primitive people. And in none of his mentions was there any of this art, you know, idea that they would have built these grand buildings, you know. And even when you look there's those buildings in like areas of Siberia and areas of what would be Tartary, but those same buildings are down in South America, those same buildings are in China, those same buildings are in Africa, right? We find them all. And where are all those people, or who goes to all those areas? Well, you had the Portuguese, right? You had the Spanish, you had the Moors, you had the British, who were all going to these same areas. Maybe they did share a little of the architecture. I don't know.
That's crazy. But like, my thing is like, you think of an advanced civilization, I guess you automatically come to mind, they have like these great structures, these beautiful artistic buildings. And then for you to like say that, because I didn't know that. And then for you to also say how they, I believe they also conquered, or they defeated the Egyptians and the Persians, these civilizations that we've held up to such a high pedestal. To me, it's like, it's just mind blowing that we've never ever been taught this. At least me personally, in my school career, I've never been taught about the Tartarians and how they could be so much more powerful than the Egyptians, and then not even, you know, have relics of their past of buildings, and then also be a nomadic tribe and still wipe out these huge civilizations.
Yeah, because what I found with them is what they would do is they did a lot of what, you know, and why I find it funny, they did a lot of what Alexander did, right? Alexander went from, you know, east to west, and they went vice versa. And what it was, or no, sorry, opposite. Sorry, Alexander went from west to east, and they came from Siberia, you know, northern China, western or eastern Russia to the west, towards Europe, towards Turkey. You know, they went through Rome, they went through Constantinople, they went through all the way to Egypt, like you were saying. And that's pretty impressive, but there's no mention, right? There's no, we get the Khans, right? We get Genghis Khan, we get Tamerlane, who's one of his offspring, who was a pretty, you know, ruthless ruler that made some ripples. But the interesting fact is, and one of the things that, again, they mentioned in this whole, is it possibly a PSYOP? If they just said that old world China, would people be interested? Or old world Russia, but you say old world Tartary, and now you have it ringing in your head, right? What do Russia and China represent right now? Well, you know, in the if we're looking at the times, it's the Marxism and the communism. So is this what they got into? Is this PSYOP pushing on us almost a Marxist communist, pushing them to the front in history? And saying, oh, the Russians and the Chinese, who are really the Tartars, were the ones who did all this great stuff.
Interesting.
It's just, there's so many levels to it. It's one of those things. I recommend people go listen to it and get your opinions out there, because it's fascinating.
It could make sense, because, I follow like the spiritual community and stuff like that. And usually those people are like, you know, for some reason, a lot of people are kind of like waking up to this kind of stuff that's being pushed out right now. And it would make sense to propagate a one world civilization, because usually spiritual people believe in oneness and they want everyone, you know, everyone's one and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It would make sense from a tactical standpoint to propagate a one world civilization. And then once you join it, you get wrapped around your neck with some BS, and then now you're a part of something different that you thought it was, right? Yeah, it would make sense to do that.
That's a microcosm of BLM right there.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they rope these people in, right? Yeah. I mean, it's craziness. And then they just take all the money and run.
Well, think about if there's all these people, if there's a bigger and bigger group that's thinking one way and you're outside of that group, it's so much easier for that small group that's outside to get engulfed or to get removed. Right. Let's say there's 8 billion people in the world and 7.9 billion of them believe one thing, one ideal. And then like that 0.1 of a billion people, which is a ton of people. Shit. If they go against that 7.9 billion people's idea, then they're fucked.
They're fucked. Yeah.
And to the point earlier where you're saying, you know, it's difficult to control 8 billion people. You don't have to control 8 billion people. You only have to control, how many countries are there? We'll say 200 just to keep it simple. There's, I mean, how many high-level politicians in each country? Let's say you got to control 100,000 people, like by their balls. You got to have 100,000 people by their balls.
Right, we saw it. We've already seen how many people.
Of course, I'm just
2020, right? I mean, no, I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. We've already seen this bullshit. They've showed how many people it takes for them to pull off an operation like this, because they've done it to us. They just did it on like a minor level. This was kind of like a pinprick.
And that was controlling less than 10,000 people. We have less than 10,000 high-level politicians in this country. We
and
probably
what,
have about
and what, Ryan, what also happened? People started turning on each other, right?
On behalf of those politicians.
Turn them on each other. And guess what? Now we're policing each other. Family members are turning on family members. It's just
divide and conquer. Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
We actually talked about, and not to detract from this conversation, but I guess there's some similarities about how
The whole war on drugs, and it, just want to preface this by saying this is a little bit of a theory, but it's backed in a lot of evidence. But there was this theory that the whole war on drugs was started to break apart the core foundational families that made up the big powers in America. And it supposedly started when the whole Martin Luther King revolution started. The CIA or just higher government officials started to realize that these huge black families were coming together and they were a huge power force in the community. And they realized, you know, like what is driving these huge families to make these big changes? Because they were very, very powerful and they were very, very wealthy. And they came to the conclusion that it was these strong families, black or white, but black specifically, they were targeting these strong black families that were creating these new future leaders. And supposedly what they did was they introduced drugs. And I guess you can exchange drugs for any other kind of addiction, whether it be technological, whether it be, you know, medicational, any sort of way. But they started to disseminate these drugs into these environments in order to collapse the entire system of what it means to be a strong family. And what that did was it separated people. It started to turn family against family. My uncle is going to prison because my uncle did something horrible. And, you know, these huge figures in these families, they just departed from their lives. And there was no real foundation for these families to come together. And that, in other words, this kind of represents what's going on in the country. If you look at us as like one huge family, we're kind of tearing ourselves apart piece by piece because we're being fed these drugs, which in this case is this information, or some people might look at it, this new technology, this new media.
Food, water, air, all that stuff's drugs now too.
Anything, really, anything can really be a drug. And if it tears us apart, then like I said before, you divide and conquer, pick them apart piece by piece by piece. No longer do you have a huge cumulative force, but you have individuals that you can pluck out from within. And you can conquer an entire civilization.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like that.
A family can't operate without a dad. Like a nuclear family can't operate properly without a father. Mm-hmm. And they also can't operate properly without a mother. Like there's something balance. About that.
It's all about balance. And you can't get that idea. Without outside a nuclear family. And I don't give a shit what you say. You call me a homophobe all you want. It's not the way the family. There's a natural energetic balance to that relationship, to that nuclear family. There is a bond there that once it's broken, you have lost souls now. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And you see it with this just, and it's a blatant attack. You see it in Disney movies, right? Yeah. How many Disney movies where the parents are missing, one parent's dead, the kids are orphans.
Fucking Bambi, dude.
Yeah.
Gets fucking
oh my God. Right. Just capped right in front of. And that's what you're showing your kids. You're showing your kids watching a deer watch its mother just get lit up like a Christmas tree. Boom.
Yeah.
Dude, we were talking about Up yesterday. We went and watched that movie Smile. And that's a pretty interesting movie. It's pretty good. But, you know, Up, you know, this is marketed to these like toddlers. That's a traumatic fucking movie, dude.
Yeah.
It's a sad, sad movie.
Well, they do that a lot. They did it with Soul also, which is you know about a guy dead and reincarnating and all that. So
let's say this for like the people that might come on to call you a homophobe for saying what you said, Matt. Everything is based off ones and zeros, right? Ones and zeros, the one being the man, the zero being the female. You got the stick and the hole, right? I mean, like that's what a one and a zero is. Everything is based off that. Positive, negative. It's all, I mean, there's something that feeds off that. It's no hate on gay people, but I mean, you can't, we wouldn't be here. If toxic masculinity wasn't a thing, none of us would be here because our ancestors either conquered somebody or if they were conquered, they assimilated into the society that conquered them.
There's a reason.
Society doesn't move forward by a bunch of pussies. It moves forward by strong people.
Yeah, there's a reason we put a hot dog in a bun and you don't eat two hot dogs at once.
Exactly.
Just doesn't work.
Exactly.
I like to think about it. You know, I prefer to like take multiple streams of information and I can definitely hear what you guys mean. Like if, you know, I guess a couple of thousand years ago, you know, if you didn't have a strong family leader to get you through arduous times, you know, you weren't really going anywhere.
You were dead. You were dead. You weren't living, right? Yeah. Like you wouldn't make it through the winter if you didn't have a good leader.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for that. And I think everybody has this role in this society. And we, you know, we need people on either side of the spectrum. And I guess, you know, at one point we got like very comfortable and, you know, these ones and zeros, they started to bleed into zeros and ones. You know, we started to be a coagulation between the both. And I mean, scientifically speaking, that's to be expected. You know, there are a lot of other species that kind of exhibit both sides of the spectrum as well. But what I would agree in saying, and what I don't appreciate other people kind of pushing to the side, is that we need both sides. We need all sides of these equations. So it's not like, I don't want to ostracize people by saying, you know, you shouldn't be this or you shouldn't be that. But I think we shouldn't call toxic masculinity in the way that we kind of perceive it now, which is it being a horrible thing. Because I think, like you said, I think placing the word toxic on it isn't really right, but I understand why we use it because it's what people call it. But I don't view it as toxic. I view it as just being much more engaged in your masculine energy or much more engaged in your feminine energy. And like I said, it goes both ways. Sometimes you need the masculine, sometimes you need the feminine in your environment. And that's where we come. We come together as both in a family to create this experience.
Yeah, and you see that too throughout time, right? That's that wave that we ride. There's a heavy masculine period, then it's followed by a feminine period. And that's the balance in nature, right? Everything needs balance. And where we are going with things is taking away from that balance. And what does that do? That just creates instability. And instability is not good for humanity, right? Human beings are meant to be stable. They're meant to have a purpose, not to be in this just chaotic situation. We haven't evolved to that point yet. And putting us in that state causes people to be frantic. And mental illness is at an all-time high right now.
Yeah, that's true. Dude,
I was going to say, Matt, you're a student of history. You know a lot about this kind of stuff, man. We're talking about masculine and feminine waves. What happens when these massive empires that are brought up by, you know, I know that we don't like using the term, but I'm going to use it. The toxic masculinity idea. I agree with you, dude. Like Sean, it's not what I think it is. I don't think that being masculine is toxic at all. It actually brings a lot of entertainment. I mean, sports is that's toxic masculinity. Try and watch football, try and watch like UFC or anything like that. You're watching toxic masculinity, as it's defined. Toxic masculinity builds these civilizations, and then when they're super comfortable, what happens, Matt?
There you go. Things get soft and they fall apart.
Yep. Look at Rome. They're fucking dogs. They're fucking animals. They're dudes fucking kids, and you know, chicks fucking chicks. You know, orgies going on, all this kind of stuff. You can see that in Greece. You can see it in Rome, in Egypt. All these different empires, they start getting real fluid with their sexuality, just like we are right now. And then they fall.
Yep.
So I'm not saying that's necessarily going to happen. And then one more point real quick, too. I think it was Sean that brought up, you know, the black culture getting attacked. Dude, who drives culture more than any other race out there? Talking rock, talking pop culture in general, talking any kind of trend that you see. The black culture leads the way of, like, I mean, for the entire duration of the United States. The black culture has led where everyone else follows. I mean, you have little, you know, white kids that have never spent a day in any kind of ghetto at all, like idolizing people that like actually live this kind of crazy shit, you know, people that have hard times. And these privileged little white kids are like idolizing that. That's because this, I mean, the black population has always driven culture, dude. It's been a thing.
Well, in the cities too, right? I think, you know, that's one of the things that always amazed me living in Connecticut, which is, you know, less than 100 miles from New York City. But the trends in New York City would be like 2 years ahead of when they would get to us.
Yeah.
So it was so wild. Like the cities and the areas down there, the trends take off so much quicker, and it takes a lot of time to bleed out into the suburbs. And by the time it gets out there, they're on to they're three generations later on the next trend.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing new shit. I mean, they say that like Dolly Parton had like the hugest part in bringing rap to the mainstream, because she went to the Bronx and saw black dudes rapping, and then Dolly Parton raps in one of her songs, and they credit her with kind of bringing that mainstream.
Wow.
It's like, no, man, it's just one of those things where, you know, again, blues, rock, any kind of music, any kind of pop culture is really driven by the Black culture. I don't know if it's just like the struggles or what it is, but we know that struggle brings creativity. And man, I think that, I mean, it's definitely a point, you know, like the Black Wall Street stuff, that's all very real. It's just, it's a crazy idea that, you know, it's something that gets lost on a lot of people. I think that
speaking
that
of really which,
is a driver.
Have you guys seen that shit where Jay-Z or Nicki Minaj is supposedly just Jay-Z sped up?
Yeah, I've seen that. I was like, all right.
I don't know how to feel about that one, though.
Dude, I don't know what to do with these things, man. Between the voices, the faces, like these people that are coming out. It's like, what is going on right now? Is this shit real or are they just playing mind games with us?
Oh, man. You know, sometimes, like, for some reason, like, there's a balance to, like, the content. Like, they'll show you some crazy shit that's, like, possibly real. And then they'll just throw some stupid shit out there.
Yeah.
Throw you off. You're like,
exactly.
What the fuck? Is this real? And then you show it to someone else and they're like, yo, you're fucking crazy. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay. So now we're talking about that. Have you guys seen this video yet?
No.
I'm kind of in the middle on this. All right. So to preface this, this is talking about like your cell phone camera, right? So they got this lady's got a spider. This girl's got a spider in a jar. We'll watch this shit.
Okay, guys, so we found this weird-looking little spider thingy in the garage, and...
Right? Nothing.
When you type...
Over here, look. Every time I touch my phone, it freaking...
Tap it crazy. Move. Tap it crazy.
Oh.
Look, yeah. Look. But yet, I'm tapping the table and nothing. And I go here on my phone, and I touch the camera. It's like if it feels what I'm
okay,
touching
wait,
on
stop.
The camera.
Okay, go.
That is so weird.
Yeah, they figure this shit out.
How and why? Ew.
Well, no, and the reason why I thought it was interesting is because in my life, my dog will not let me take a picture of her. Like if I try and get her attention and she sees the camera, she always looks away. And like it's something about it. I can have my phone out, and as soon as I point that phone at her, she's gone. She doesn't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm. I can never get my dog to look at a phone for a selfie either. I never realized that though.
That's really
interesting.
It's the lidar scans. Like they have their color receptors are like different. They see light different. Mm-hmm. So they're able to react to that stuff. We can't see that light. So that's why it doesn't bother us. But to
this
them
thing's actually blinking at you. Your camera is actually blinking. If you take an infrared light and put it near there, you'll see the infrared that's coming off the camera light.
Yeah. So, and they see that. So they're like, what is that? Like, you know.
And that's what's wild, because then you start thinking about, okay, I can see so much of the spectrum with my eye. What the fuck is going on around me that I can't see?
Oh, man. That's what we talk about all the time.
All the time.
We only see like point, like what? Like 1% of the light spectrum?
If anything, 0.01%.
It's insanely low.
Yeah.
And then 99% of light, which is always there, is light we cannot see. So we're not seeing certain things bouncing off of it. Our eyes are not equipped to see that stuff.
Yeah.
So we always talk about that stuff. What's really out there?
And that kind of that's where I think like Bigfoot and all these like, you know, whatever people say, aliens and stuff like that fall into, fairies and all that. I think they fall into that spectrum that 99.9 of us can't see. But there are some of those people that are sensitive that can tune in and they can see, pick up on these frequencies and see these beings or whatever, the entities.
Yeah, we definitely, yo, I love that topic. We always talk about that. Yeah, I feel as though that most of these beings are actually here. It's just that we don't have the eyes to see them, right? I think it has more to do with the eye in your mind than it does with your physical eye, actually. Because if you didn't know, the pineal gland does have like kind of the same organ tissue as your regular eyes, but it's not like, you know, you can't really see out your fucking head. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different thing, but I feel as though that's the thing we need to like train to perceive certain things.
Yeah. The pineal they claim it has certain receptors similar to the light cones on your eyes. Like the pineal gland has its own set of light cones, and that entire discussion, I guess, to like give a name to it, we've talked about it on the show before, but we made a video called Psychotronic Energy, which was one of our
one of the biggest episodes we put out. Have you guys actually heard of that? Psychotronic Energy?
Yes. I watched your episode on it. That's how I heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the most fascinating discussions, and that talks exactly what you're talking about. It's these imperceivable forces of nature, these imperceivable possible forces of light. And this has been talked about for thousands and thousands of years, dating as far back as ancient India, ancient China, where they talked about chi and prana in their own words. And just recently, we started to develop our own modernized words of it. One of the more recent ones was called the etheric formative forces. I think that was made by Rupert Sheldrake. I might be botching it, but he was the guy who talked about a whole bunch of other stuff that talked about this. But then they came into psychotronic energy, which is a term that the CIA and the Russians used to use. And that talks about just these subtle energetical forces that we're constantly in contact with, that we're constantly interfering with, but we can't see it through our conventional senses, which is just our touch, our taste, our smell, our hearing, or our sight. And we used to think that we were so limited to that, that we only had these five or six senses, but we're coming to find out through these studies, and these need to be repeated. But we're coming to find out through these studies that we're interfering with a field that we cannot presently perceive with our conventional senses, and that there may be some sort of organ or some sort of program within us that is in contact with this field or this energy, whatever it is that you want to call it.
That's the sixth sense, right?
The sixth sense that everybody has. That we've been able to control and use to our abilities. And like I said, it's hard to talk about because you want to talk about this in a scientific perspective. And a lot of these studies are very classified. So when they're classified, they're not shared with other scientists. And when they're not shared with other scientists, they're not able to be repeated. When they're not able to be repeated, we can't accept them conventionally as a scientific discovery. Yeah. And that's my issue with this.
It's just a theory, right?
It's just a theory.
And another thing to mention, bro, I was reading something in the comments too about, it's interesting how we're trying to scientifically prove these things, but science stops if we can't touch, sense, or like feel it or measure it. You know what I'm saying? That's where science technically stops. So we can't really, it's hard to prove it scientifically if we don't have the right tools to measure and do this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel as though there has to be either a tool or something that we're not using right now in our present society to prove these things. You know what I'm saying? Because science when I don't touch this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you go watch, like, I mean, I got sucked into the early season of Skinwalker Ranch on History Channel.
Oh, yeah, I watched that too.
And I'm like, oh, these dudes are going to... And it's just a giant nothing burger again and again and again. But they,
that's how I felt.
Yeah, they suck you in with all these energetic things that they're going to find, and then it's nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty much nothing. The whole thing concluded with the guy saying, oh, it might be a wormhole.
Yeah.
And that was it. It's like, damn, you just wasted 7 hours of my life.
No, it's a fascinating topic, though, if you ask me.
I'm huge into, like, I love talking cymatics and frequencies and all that, because that ties into the human side of us. It ties into old architecture. You know, it ties into so many things. You know, you look at old churches, were they just, you know, churches, or were they healing centers with the way they're the sacred geometry of the buildings?
And same thing with pyramids. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, too.
Get into those organs that would play in there and resonate, and the different the rose windows that had the different cymatic patterns on them, you know, all these different things that could possibly, but I think the key is frequency, right? And what do we get bombarded with on a daily basis? But just frequencies
every single day.
Unnatural, right? And that's, I think, the big thing for humanity going forward is to be able to ground, right? To disengage from all those frequencies. Otherwise, it seems like we're being bombarded so much that our body cannot stay in a state of peace, right? It's almost in this constant flight mode or fight mode. It's there is no comfort at where we're at today.
Yeah, I totally agree. Have you heard that book, Silent Weapons for Silent Wars?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I definitely believe that, you know, we're being bombarded every single day. I mean, look at it right now. I get service in this room.
Dude,
that's a frequency we can't see.
True. Yeah, I've got a cell phone. I've got this. I've got an Xbox over there. I've got TVs, right? Yeah. And they're all emitting frequencies, right, in this little room. And, you know, there's not much you can do other than, you know, I've started getting into the rocks, you know, and getting into mm-hmm. some crystals and stuff and looking at that side of things and finding some EMF blockers and things like that. Yeah, I actually
have one on me right now.
Yeah.
It's right here. It has the flower of life on it.
Yes.
It's supposed to block some certain EMF radiation. But I'm going to just believe it does. So it works better.
Hey, it don't matter, man. Placebo. Yeah, placebo. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, what's kind of interesting, too, is mixing energies with technology like this. Like, you know, if we were all sitting in a room talking, the energy would be a little different than if we were, you know, you said you're in New York. Matt, you're in, you know, the opposite side of the freaking country, too. I'm way over here. You know, it's. To me, that's kind of interesting to see how potentially this kind of shit gets broken up. And mm-hmm. instead of us talking like, you know, normally how we would throughout history, we're talking through all these things, how the words might hit you guys that I'm saying right now versus how it would be if we were in the same room. And then you start looking at like how people do exorcisms and shit like this, like digitally over Zoom, like the dude that I was talking with. Yeah, dude, I talked with a dude where he had a deliverance that they did a deliverance over Zoom, and he wow. didn't believe any of it was working, and then he started feeling like something was coming out of his stomach, and he couldn't breathe for like 5 seconds.
No,
and then it
was
just gone. Yeah, it was wild. I mean, this guy's name is Dale, and he had a crazy exorcism over a fucking Zoom call. And there's a really great movie about it too. It's called.
Wow.
You guys would like this if you use Zoom a lot. It's a movie called Host, made in 2020. Like,
oh, I've heard of that movie. Started.
Dude, it's a great movie. It's like, you know, six chicks doing a weird like supernatural thing. But when you see stuff like that, it makes some sense that maybe like we're tapping into some weird shit by doing this kind of stuff. I'm always just wondering, like, you know, this technology at Zoom came out at one of the weirdest times in our lives. Right, COVID is what brought Zoom in all of our lives.
Yep.
What was the purpose of it? You know, there's got to be a greater purpose to all this stuff because we're still not sure what the vaccines are supposed to do. We're not sure why COVID was introduced to us and marketed to us the way that it was. Maybe it was a distraction in some sense, but we have some tangible things to hold on to still. Zoom, all this other shit, right? It's weird that, like, you know, what this does to conversation.
And what was Zoom's predecessor? What the hell was it at the time?
Skype.
Well, Skype.
Wow. Yeah.
That just disappeared. Where did Skype go?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
You figured during a pandemic they would flourish, and they disappeared, and it was all Zoom. We were all funneled into like Zoom and WebEx.
You guys know who's behind Zoom too? Fucking CCP. I mean, like, it's the same people behind TikTok.
No, you know? I'm really aware of that.
Wow. Yeah, that's where it came about.
So no, it's just weird. Way.
It's no way. No weird, dude. It's
clicking right now.
So they we let China into all of our homes during the pandemic.
Big Zoom. COVID.
Who let them into our homes? Well, COVID came from Harvard, I believe. COVID came from Harvard.
I haven't heard that one before.
Me neither, actually.
Yeah, there was a dude that was traveling in mid-2019, I think it was. A dude traveling out of Harvard. That got popped in an airport carrying some vials of some weird shit, and he was going to China. He was trying to bring it. You know, it's too clean when you look at the idea of, like, you know, what was that Wuhan lab right down the street from that bat market or whatever the fuck those crazy assholes were eating. You know, like it makes too much sense, right? It's too like straightforward. But yeah, there was a dude out of Harvard that got popped for bringing some weird stuff out of the biolab there. And then you look at like what Harvard's been behind since the beginning of its, you know, establishment.
Well, Harvard and Dietrich, Matt. Right? You look at Fort Dietrich right along with it.
It's one of Maryland is where that is, right?
Yep.
So yeah, yeah, I never looked into Harvard like that, but it, you know, they are one of the oldest fucking establishments in this country.
It's the Eastern establishment shit, man.
Yeah.
Them and Yale.
And Harvard's tied up here too with MIT. right? They have the tech side of it up here too with them. And, you know, you have Cambridge, which is one of the, you know, some older area in Boston.
You have, you
know,
Yale, which is the political. You have Harvard, which is the law, right? Yep. When those two are tied together, you have MIT, which is that scientific aspect. Cambridge, what'd you say, Matt? Cambridge is what?
No, that's England.
I thought you said Cambridge was, okay.
I did. No, I was saying Cambridge, Massachusetts is an area right around Boston too that has some schools.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you have 13 Ivy League schools and they're basically all right in there. I think Stanford is one of the only ones that's not around there, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, UPenn is down in Pennsylvania, but it's up here in this area.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have all of them in the Northeast. That's where all the Ivy League schools are, and it's a weird. Well,
that's where all the smart people are, right? I mean, come on.
Well, I think that's what the 13, you know, how you always see 13 represented constantly in like the SEALs, like the little people carrying 13 arrows. I think those are referencing the Ivy League schools, honestly.
Yeah, and then you got 13 families. It's a very prominent number.
Interesting that they're localized around there. Josh brought up this thing that I've never heard about before. And it was, I don't know if you want to get into it, but you talked about how, I think it was New England or New Britain or whatever, they control the American people. Like we've
traded. Oh, yeah. We was gonna eventually get into the Merrill Admiralty Law. I'm still trying to get like information on that and stuff, but. Yeah, well, we're basically talking not just even through the banks, but I had like a theory that we never won the American Revolution. And that's because like the representatives of the first leaders were tied to Freemasonry and stuff like that. But that was just my personal theory. I don't know if it's like true, but it is weird to see that even in New York City, Sean, did you know New York City was founded on buildings from the Masons?
I was not aware of any.
Yeah,
of
that, actually going to bring that up 2 weeks later. But
well, yeah, we can bring that up. But the point that I was talking about is you bring up like a great correlation between the past, like our founding fathers, and how we never really escaped the control of Britain.
Yeah, yeah, because of Freemasonry like, as we know it today. Yeah, Freemasonry as we know it today, because it's actually before. You know, England and stuff, but it, as we know it today, was founded in England, according to Google, right? And then we have our new leaders who apparently hate, you know, Britain, come to the United States and then fight the British people, but yet they're Freemasons. You would think if they didn't like them, they would have a different organization. You know what I'm saying?
And then you got to look in. Then you got to look into like the Virginia Company and things like that, and that's where it starts getting a little hairy. And then you start seeing that we, you know. It sounds like technically we still pay taxes to the queen.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're.
So at that point, how free are you when you were, you know, paying endowments to another nation?
Dude, I just did an episode on this, man. Like the old world order is the new world order.
I just listened to that this morning.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, no, I mean, the idea that, you know, Abraham Lincoln is fighting the Civil War, right? And he says that, you know, there's this dark cloud that's over America's future, and it comes from Rome. And then he has another great quote where he's fighting two armies. One is in front of him to the south, and one's behind him in Rome. And the one that's more powerful and more damaging to his future and the country's future is Rome. These are the Italian bankers. And once the Civil War ends, the idea is that it's to free, you know, people that were enslaved, right? Free us, and it's based off race, right? That's the whole thing that they tell us, that this stuff is based off race. But then these people get smart and they realize, why only enslave a minority of people when we can enslave an entire nation, right? We can enslave the white people, we can enslave the Indians, we can enslave the black, the Mexicans, anything. Let's free the black people. Let's say that they're free now and they have their rights. But since Abraham Lincoln just introduced these things called the greenbacks, what we know today as the dollar, the Italian bankers can now call that fiat currency. And now everyone's a slave instead of just the black people. If you are paying off a car, you're paying off a house, you're paying off anything.
No, Ryan. It's when you are born. Now it's when you're born. Once you get a social security number.
Yeah. Not necessarily, man. I don't think that's necessarily true, because you can be completely independent from the system. Everyone gets a social security number, but you can be off the grid. You know, you can do all kinds of things where you're not having to pay for shit. If you have $100,000 in the bank, take that shit out and have cash, sit on cash and buy shit, buy land, buy a car that's $5,000 instead of making payments on a $250,000 car, buying a $500,000 house. Because for me, I have a $99,000 home and I'm stupid and I did a 30-year mortgage on it. And this motherfucker is going to cost me by the end of it $300,000.
God damn. Oh.
Right? So what's the, I mean, that's, I'm a slave. Technically,
it's a scam.
It's a scam and a half, dude. It's a scam three times over. Wow. I'm getting fucked. And not only that, wow, if something breaks here, I got to pay for it. Yep. Right? Instead of like, if I'm renting a home, yeah, I, you know, a landlord's going to come in and fix that shit. Otherwise, they break their lease and I get to move out and they have to pay me my security deposit back.
Yeah, that's where so I am right now, right? My well just shit the bed today at my house, or not shit the bed, but it's like all, you know, dingy water. So they got to dig a new well. And he's like, ah, well, I guess I, you know, when we do it, I got to get you a hotel room. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that. Otherwise, yeah, I'm breaking our deal. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate that. But it's, you're right. I mean, being a renter these days is so much, you know, you can't buy now and expect to do anything with it. It's too crazy of a market.
Well, I mean, my house has doubled in value. Like I said, I bought it at $99,000. If I wanted to sell it today, it would be $214,000. So it's doubled in 6 years, which is wild. I mean, well, there's no.
Yeah.
Especially now. Yeah.
But does that also because, you know, I'm not really knowledgeable on houses and stuff, but does that also combat inflation too? Like, is that value the same or is it more?
Technically, it'd be the same. Yeah, it's supposed to like all kind of be in par with each other. But I mean, you're never going to get that stuff back. It's not like depreciation at a full, like when you buy a new car.
Yeah,
they say that it drops like half its value right off the lot. That's not the same with a house. But it's similar. But yeah, no, I've got, you know, half the money that I put down on it versus what it's worth now. So yeah, it's complicated. It's not something I don't think anyone fully understands, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like any loan, right? Any loan, you're taking out that principal amount, but what you're really paying is so much higher, and they just do it over and over again because we fall for that system. Like, we have to have it now instead of, like Ryan said, instead of getting that $50,000 G-Wagon, you know, now you're gonna go for a $5,000 used car that just gets you from A to B.
Do it, dude.
But we gotta have it. You know, that's the American way, though. It's that consumer mentality that's been
keeping up with
bred into us. Yeah,
dude, yes.
So fascinating that you say that, because I just made the correlation between these two types of slavery, as you put it. It kind of sucks to like call you a slave, but I mean, you said it yourself.
We all are. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think it is.
Like, this consumerism, this idea of consumerism, like, I need this house, so I'm willing to put down, you know, for this long mortgage. And then you kind of enslave yourself in that way. Well, in the same exact vein, similarly, there are people out there who are so materialistic, who want to consume so much that they'll do anything to get whatever it is that they desire.
Yeah, yeah.
So much so that they'll go ahead and they'll break a law. And we have it in place. And we were just talking about this earlier. We've said it in our constitution that it's illegal to enslave anybody. Slavery is illegal. Involuntary servitude is illegal unless it is used for as a form of punishment, if somebody committed a crime. And there, you know, there's a lot of theories, but it seems like the backbone of this country is designed to get people to unexpectedly break these laws to imprison them. And then when they're imprisoned so easily, they can be used for their label to accrue billions of dollars for the government, all for the fees of practically slave labor, which is free, if not, you know, a couple of pennies a day. And so there's like two forms of slavery. There's like voluntary slavery, where you go ahead and you put your money on the line to be a slave to the bank. And then you're kind of a slave also to the government. You're working for the government with physical labor. So I find that really interesting that you commented on that with the consumerism. That's really
what is the mob, like, you know, the old school mob, like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, like the Sicilian mafia, right? They make you operate in their area, and you got to give them what? A tax.
Wow. That's fact.
So like, we're sitting here and dude, how many different ways are you taxed in your day-to-day life? You know, sales tax, depending. I mean, and you guys are in New York, you guys get income tax, sales tax, all kinds of different taxes. Oh. you can get paid seven different ways, and that tax can be taxed seven, or that income that you're making could be taxed 20 different times, and then you got to pay a tax on top of that, right? Like my analogy that I use is the Patreon money that I make. Someone is working and they're getting taxed on the money that they put into my Patreon. Then that money gets taxed from the Patreon, and then I get to pull it out, and then I got to pay tax again on that money that I pull out. That's three times.
And when you go to spend that money, you are taxed again.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're taxed four times with one simple transaction.
Wow.
So, I mean, dude, this is a mafia, man. And then listen to this. I don't want you guys to be racist against Italians, even though I talk a lot of shit against Italians. who are your most popular, infamous, powerful politicians? Pelosi, Italian. Giuliani, Italian. Fauci, Italian, right? You got these Italian bloodlines that have ruled our shit for years, dude. It's crazy. And for generations, it's you know, obviously your Italian down the street is like just a normal ass dude, but there is something about these Italian bloodlines, the black nobility, you know, the bankers, all these things, they're so powerful that we don't even understand it. And we look at Rome today, and you know, their crowning achievement is these ruins known as the Colosseum. And then you got the Vatican, which is one of the most powerful institutions in the world. Man, it doesn't look like much today.
And Rome is all over America. How many?
Yeah, Washington, D.C. is Rome.
How many? No, but also how many states have a Rome in it? I know there's Rome, Georgia, and Rome, New York. You know, Rome is everywhere.
Yeah, if you look at the old world cities that are in different states, you got like Athens.
Yep.
You got like fucking
wow.
All these weird ones. Yeah.
Yeah. You have pyramids down in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a Vegas pro shop now, but
Vegas too, dude.
Yeah, it's like Romans never really died. It's like they transitioned into the Italian mafia, and then the Italian mafia never really died themselves. They were like they were probably almost as powerful as the government back then, if not more powerful. They were controlling all the ports and everything.
They had a whole
who was on the side of the Nazis too. You had Japan and you had Italy that were on the side of the Nazis during World War II. Yep. So, I mean, the fascism was very real back then. And they just rebranded, dude. The Third Reich is now the Fourth Reich, and we're living through it, you know?
And like you said, Ryan, in your show, you had the two sides. You had the Masons or the Protestants and the Catholics, right? The Masons and the Jesuits.
Yeah.
And that's who was battling it out, basically.
But they're the same now, dude.
And now they're at the point where they've just blended together, and it's all one big happy family of fuck us.
Yeah, the way that they see it now, instead of being like, I'm Protestant, I'm a Freemason, you're Jesuit, you're a Catholic, I'm rich, you're rich, these motherfuckers are poor, let's just team up. Fuck these poor people. Let's just blend the Jesuits and the Freemasons together. You hear this all the time, that a Jesuit can't be a Freemason and vice versa. Man, how many Freemasons and Jesuits do you see today?
Yeah, but you don't have to be in his club if you're giving him a reach around, you know? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. You guys are still friends.
Yeah. Yep. It's dirty, dude. It's dirty, dirty shit. And it's right in front of us, man. It's shit.
That's crazy, bro.
It's
right there.
It's right there, bro. We have a Freemason tower right over there.
Oh, it's all over the place. Yeah.
This is crazy.
Dude, that giant, there's all sorts of Roman symbolism all over. I mean, you look at that giant bull down on Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got all this old shit in New York. In New York, they say either New York City or Rome, Georgia, were possibly the original Rome. That the one in Italy is modeled after.
No way. What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wait, I haven't heard
Philly.
It's wild shit.
That's an interesting one.
Huh. Wait, how long ago would they have had to have been created to be modeled off of that?
Because if you look at New York, like there is so much. It's rumored that there's as much underground in New York as there is above ground.
Oh no, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Damn, I was really gonna talk about this 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, but yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
there's so much tunnels. There's actually miles. There's like there's miles and miles of tunnels, and there's levels to it. And you know, actually in Chinatown, they have a whole tunnel system where the gangs used to go to fight each other.
No way.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
They call it like something alley. All I know is that they go there, they have a war, and they fight underground.
And they fight, and there's gambling going on while they're fighting. It's insane.
It's crazy.
I live here all my life.
But if you think about that though, like you were saying, what did they do? There's layers. They built on top of stuff. That's what they did in Rome too, right? Rome. If you look at Rome, there's just layers upon layers of shit would get destroyed. Okay, we're just going to build on top of it. Shit would get destroyed again. Okay, we're going to just build it. And that's what they did in New York, and they did it in a lot of cities. In
isn't that everywhere, Matt? Like even underwater now? I mean, there's pyramids.
Oh, without
underwater.
A doubt. Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing. You don't know where land was. You know, it depends how far back we go. I mean, some people, I was listening to a podcast the other day that said that the Mayans and, you know, could have been around 270,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And that just fucking blows every timeline that we've ever heard up. And so, you know, that makes it, then you start looking at the layers again, and that makes a lot more sense. At 10 to 12,000 years, which is the timeline we're working off of based on, you know, looking at Egypt and the pyramids.
Yeah.
Now you blow that up to 270,000 years. The possibilities are that much more that there were civilizations that either, you know, got wiped out or got buried, and the next one would just build on top.
We talk about that. We don't, I personally don't believe that whole 10,000, 6,000 year timeline is a thing. That's bullshit. I mean, look at the Sumerians. They had tablets talking about kings that ruled for like mad long.
Now, could the 10,000 be what we have written knowledge of now because previous got wiped out in the great flood that we hear about? Yeah, of course, because we find bits and pieces of previous knowledge, but goddamn, think about how much of this place is ocean that we can't even get to, that shit could be buried down there and got flushed out there.
There's this guy, and he was also on Joe Rogan's podcast. There's two people, actually. If you've heard of them, I love them so much. They're Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson.
Yes, sir.
Carlson is the one that I specifically want to refer to about this, because he talks about the Great Flood. And for so long, we thought of it just as like a prophecy or a fable, a myth. And he went on to describe that, no, there really was a great flood. And he showed the scientific evidence of all these landscapes that were conformed by these huge tidal waves. And so to come to find out that, one, that's real. And then Graham Hancock goes on to describe how they found through, I believe it was also through LIDAR in the Amazon, these uncovered tribes, these huge civilizations underneath all this foliage that were buried deep beneath and compacted on through thousands and thousands of other civilizations on top, and how these great civilizations were just seemingly buried and never to be discovered. And they were much more advanced than we thought of before. He talked about how they had this specific kind of soil, the terracotta soil, I believe it was, that could produce, you know, vegetation.
And that's what they say the Amazon is, right? They say that's not natural soil. They say it's all man-made.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, how did they even know that? Yep. These are guys that I supposedly, some of the civilizations, I think, predated the Mayans, which confirms what you were talking about, like stretching the Mayan table back.
Go way back, yeah.
Keeps going back and back. So it's like, how much further can we keep pushing this? You know, in another 100 years, are we going to push the table back another 1,000? Another 10,000?
Yeah. And I think the further we go back, the closer we get to reality, at least, you know, because I think we've been sold a bill of goods that doesn't match reality, you know, and again, reality is all perception, I guess, when it comes down to it. But I'm saying what really happened in a timeline sort of way, like, what are we looking at here on a scale? And even Randall got serious pushback using that Younger Dryas as event, as there was the scientific community's like, no. And he pushes it back 12,000 years, which gets us right around to that 10,000 BC. Exactly. And it fits, you know, with all the, like you were saying, the landscape, the way it changed, it matches with some of the other things in the tide shifts and things like that. And it's just, it's amazing. But what we're finding is, when you get guys like this, what's the first reaction? The community, the education community, attacks them, right? Mm-hmm. Tries to discredit them. And I think we're getting to a point now where that wave has gotten to a point where that community is kind of losing its luster a little bit, and they're getting cracks in their wall, and people are starting to break through. And people like Randall and Graham are getting much more credit and more credibility now. And guys like Farad Zawas, that's just an Egyptian shill that hides real Egyptian history over there, he gets promoted like he's this savior of Egypt. No, he's the guy that's keeping us from finding out what really happened in Egypt, because he's sticking to this script that we all know is bullshit.
What is that script exactly like that they're portraying?
I never heard of that guy before.
Farad Zawas is the National Geographic guy. He's that white-haired guy that does everything with Egypt. He's the guy who you have to jerk off to get access to anything over there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, when they find new stuff, he's always the first one there to put the, you know, tents around the outside so nobody can see what he's doing down there.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, and so I think he's one of those guys that was put there to keep the narrative intact, right?
Like,
go into the Sphinx and find out what's in there, because the Egyptian Antiquity Society says no.
So I want to ask you this question, because I have the answer to this question myself. So what do you think is the reason for, I want both of you guys to answer this, what do you think is the reason for hiding this true human history? What do you think the benefit is if everyone knew this knowledge to be true? What do you think the benefit is for that?
You want me to go, Matt?
Go ahead, man.
I think it's, you know, if you have any kind of secret, like super, super secret shit, right? This is what secret societies are based off of. They guard secrets. I think it's simply just having knowledge that other people don't have. I don't necessarily think that it would like prolong life. It might just make the slaves, all of us, it might not make us as productive if we all knew this stuff. It might not make us like, you only get one go around, right? Because I don't believe that. I think that it's very possible if we all had this technology, like reincarnation's possible. Like, you know, the queen supposedly just died recently. Mm-hmm. I think that bitch got put into another body and she's still living just maybe like not such a high profile life. You know, have you guys seen
Get Out? I hope she got like the Stephen Hawking body.
Right? No, dude, she got some kind of good body for sure. Something a lot better. I mean, have you seen Get Out, the idea of that movie,
yes.
The Coagula, where they just transplant the consciousness?
Same thing with what's the name of that show on Netflix? Altered Carbon.
Yeah, oh, I love that show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or Westworld. I mean, all these different ideas kind of blend that stuff. I think it's a secret, and certain people of high standing in society get knowledge to this stuff. And I think a lot of these secret societies, Rosicrucians, you know, down from like the Pilgrim Society to like the freaking Freemasons, which is like, again, the karate of secret societies. It's so basic. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
These people were set there to kind of create this like pyramid structure of keeping this knowledge, right? Everyone knows the Freemasons. The Freemasons are at that bottom level. You crack them, maybe their secret is, you know, they're pushing for a one world religion, but you're never going to get to that idea that maybe there's some high level of shit that would really change society. And also to hide like what we are as humans. I think that human beings are truly special things that are created by a God of some kind. I call it God. I believe in Jesus. I call it like I kind of lean towards the Christian God. I think that is absolutely there's something to it, again, because these elites push this Luciferian shit. So I think it's to, A, you know, keep the knowledge, just because we don't deserve it. We need to work for these higher ups, and then B, to you know, keep us away from God, the thing that created us.
Very interesting take. Wow.
Yeah, I think it's all about frequency, right? Again, I'm a frequency person. I think it's to keep us in a lower state and not being able to reach that higher state, right? By like what Ryan said, by keeping knowledge from us, by having us in this now industrial state, right? Where we go to school, we go to work, that whole unnatural state where there's a disconnect from nature. Right. Mm-hmm. I think there was a time when people lived much more connected to nature in the not so distant future. And I think technology is taking us further and further away from nature and natural living. And I think that's where they want to take us, because we're not in harmony then. And I think when humanity's in harmony, good things can happen. And I think they benefit more from the disharmony and the disunity and the divide. And that's why they play the divide and conquer game.
Wow. When did things start getting so much worse for humanity? I mean, what are your guys' opinions? When did things exponentially get worse throughout mankind? Like the history that we know, let's call it 2000 years. I know it's much longer, but let's say in the last 2000 years, when did things get incredibly worse quicker?
I think we took a huge step back in the 1800s.
Okay.
I think when Facebook came out.
To be completely honest, yeah, Facebook was another big thing. But I think, honestly, yeah, I think when all the ancient civilizations fell and then we aren't here to pick up those pieces, I think that's where like that gray area is and how we started declining as a humanity. Mm-hmm. I think they had some knowledge or something that could benefit us now. You know what I'm saying? Like something they must have known or something they discovered that could have helped us now. And I think the loss of that knowledge is really shown today in where we're living. And now we're addicted to phones. We're eating GMO food. Everything we consume is not really good for us. You know, I feel as though like we lost that knowledge. And I feel as though if we were to be given that knowledge, we would remember something yes. about ourselves that like, sure. you know,
it's that spark. Right, that infinite spark that we're looking for, and if we get it, man, they'd be in it's trouble. Done.
Yeah,
because that could be right. That could be the one thing, like Ryan was talking about, and I love it because he's always busted our balls about we're not going to do anything about it. Right, in the end, you're not going to do anything about it. What if that spark is what would cause the collective to do it? You know, right? And that's kind of where I go with this stuff. Is it's that knowledge that would bring us together. Because they've made us think that we're divided by race and we're divided by this and that. When in reality, it's a class-based system. It boils down to haves and have-nots. That's it. And either you're in the club or you're not in the club. And it's very simple. And that's how the things boil down in this realm, at least from a power structure.
I wanted to hear Sean's idea of like where shit started really going sideways, and then I'll give you guys the correct answer right now.
Thanks, Dad.
Well, in light of your correct answer with my very limited understanding of history, just because we're so young, you know, I believe around World War I is when we started to invest so much money into this war. We spent a fuckload of money in that war. And you know, for what? And I think after that money is when we realized like, dude, like we need to recuperate that. Like we're going into serious turmoil here. And I think specifically after that, you know, apart from how much chaos ensued after World War I and World War II, I found interesting enough is when a lot of these UFO encounters started to come to light. These UFO encounters started to make themselves aware. And around then is when we just started to shut the books.
1944.
That puts a number to my history. So around then is when all these like UFO encounters started to come to light. And then I think the government just started to close their books. You know, it was no more about like, hey guys, this is what's going on. We're going to go do this and this. It was just take this knowledge, keep it, lock it away. Nobody else needs to know about it. And, you know, that goes into like Bob Lazar and all that. And I guess I want to talk about that too, but I also want to hear like your correct answer as well on that.
Yeah, dude. The reason that I asked the question to you guys was because, you know, Matt, you know, I think really accurately saying that, you know, humans are going down this really bad path because of technology, and this technology starts exponentially growing right around 1944, right at the end eight stages of World War II. Like during Eisenhower's time too, right? I think when did Eisenhower leave office? 44, right? Because you know Truman comes in and then ends World War II. So you know Eisenhower, they have this whole idea of like the Greata Treaty, where you know humans are traded, and this is like something that I'm real skeptical of because it's like so put out there that human beings and cattle are traded for alien technology. What the fuck? Like, how is this so so well known? It's strange, but there it's undeniable that we get microwaves where you can heat up a fucking steak in a damn box in 5 minutes, right? Yeah. You have fiber optics, you have radio wave technology, you have all this crazy, crazy shit that is growing. That, I think, is when human beings started moving farther and farther away from where we were supposed to be. If you look at it back in World War One, even, which I tend to agree more so with, like, that idea of, like, yeah, World War One was a bad time when, as far as like the shifting of human consciousness or whatever, we were still pretty straightforward. I mean, male testosterone levels are 20 times higher back then than they are today on average, right? I mean, men were men, women were women back then, clearly, right? Homosexuality, again, I'm not bagging on them. I think that it's kind of a government conspiracy. I think that there's chemicals introduced in the water that make people feel gay and all this, you know, cultural shit. Yeah, man, World War II was this time when technology was introduced at high levels and we started drifting away from where we were going as a human race, I think.
Atomic weapons and all that too. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Bob Lazar? Because I think what Bob Lazar talked about a lot is this separation of knowledge, this separation of power between. Have you guys heard of Bob Lazar, by the way?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What he talked about a lot, apart from the fascinating discoveries, was this separation of knowledge and power with the people. And that was so disharmonious for the scientific process. And I love how we talked about that, because he talked about UFOs being, you know, an ancient discovery, and how a lot of it was discovered around that time period during World War One and World War Two, when we started to develop those technological advancements that you're talking about. So I find the correlation between, you know, what you're saying, like the downfall of our civilization and then the occurrence of UFOs. But I was just wondering what you thought about Bob Lazar's entire story.
There's a theory that a portal was opened and right around 1944. I actually heard it from Richard Syrett. He has a Strange Planet is the podcast that he has. And it's a good show. It's really good. I don't like recommending podcasts to anybody, but especially in like the conspiracy space, but it's a good show. And he talks about he has a Jewish dude on that is really educated in like the whole Hebrew, you know, faith and everything. And this guy is pushing this idea that these alien entities were allowed to come in to our realm because of the trauma, the mass trauma of World War II. And I mean, you hear about like trauma induced mind control and trauma. I mean, I told you I watched that movie Smile yesterday. It's like, it's a great movie, but the whole theme of that movie is horrible shit happens to you and entities are allowed to enter your life because of a traumatic event.
Yes. What the fuck did we let in on 9/11?
That's the thing, dude. And that's why, I mean, dude, if you look at like psychologists and shit, we're saying that depression was spiking massively a couple of months before September 11th, 2001. More and more people were actually saying that they were depressed on like August or fucking June or May of 2001, right? Why? I mean, why was there this spike? It's like this event, 9/11, had like this effect in space and time, where it like had this ripple effect where people before this shit happened were feeling that maybe they were going to lose something or there was going to be some massive changes in their lives. Because, I mean, we defined things until COVID happened, which was another traumatic event. Yep. You know, we define life as, you know, post 9/11, pre 9/11, and then post COVID, pre COVID now. So there's going to be another one in 10 or 20 years, and we're just going to have these things. But these traumatic events are introduced to us as a mass population because trauma has something to do with this negative shit being able to be pushed on us for some reason. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't think anyone does. But yeah, as far as like all this alien stuff, I think that I think that some negative shit, I think some demons like entered our dimension around 1944. You know, like Hitler's doing horrible things, put up to by the Rothschilds, right? I mean, like, this stuff is all, it's all connected. But yeah, dude, there's no easy answer. I mean, these are
there's really not. Yeah. Like the well, one thing that I just did find fascinating, maybe it corroborates that, but they, I believe it was in Gettysburg, there's this like myth, but there's also a lot of stories about people hearing soldiers screaming out in the field, like in utter agony. And there's the theory is that, you know, they suffered so much trauma that their souls or whatever energy that once inhabited their body just froze and stuck in that place and time, and they're constantly reliving this loop because of trauma.
Yeah, and they don't realize that they're dead.
That's what they say about asylums too, right? That's what all those old asylum hauntings are. These people who are tortured and abused, and they're stuck in that loop of that spot. They're tied to that land energetically. It's so.
But dude, what's so wild about that shit with Gettysburg, and like, so this is Civil War era shit, right?
Yep.
So in the Vietnam War, like, this is when PSYOPs were really taking a hold, and like when people, like, psychological warfare was really experimented with. And they used to use on the Vietnamese, they used to use they used to put radios in bushes to scare the Vietnamese. Oh, yeah. And it would be a Vietnamese dude in a wind tunnel screaming in pain. And because they believed that if you were killed in battle, if you died a dishonorable death, you were stuck in space and in time in that spot. So they would plant radios in bushes to scare the shit out of these Vietnamese soldiers so that they wouldn't fucking want to mess with the Americans. I wonder if that technology was available during the Civil War too, where they were actually playing crude radio signals of soldiers screaming in fucking bushes, and it was just a radio, but the soldiers had no idea that this was even possible. So they're hearing screams and they're like, holy shit, let's not go to that area right there. And they're just running away, and they're giving up and losing a battle because of some technology, essentially. That's wild,
dude. That's crazy.
It's like the Aztec death whistle thing. I don't know.
Yes, you know that. You're Rogan play it.
Yeah. Dude, that one here. It's freaky. I don't never want to whistle into it ever again.
Wait, what happened?
It's like a demon scream.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
It sounds like a demon scream. You blow into it, and supposedly, like, even thousands of years ago, they would use that in the forest. They would just blow into it, and it sounds like somebody's screaming. Torturous scream.
It's like what you would hear, like a pterodactyl or some sort of flying bird, like, through the air. It's this nasty, like, guttural. Dude, it sounds like a demon, man. I don't know how else to put it, but fuck, I ain't messing with one of those.
No, you hear that in the forest, you're turning back. You're going home after that.
Yeah, get the fuck out now. Boom, abandon ship.
I wanted to say something about technology, though. Like, I definitely agree, like, the technology, the way we use it today is fucking us up. But I believe that it all depends on how we use it. Like, right now, technology is using us rather than us using technology. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're being force-fed all this shit through our technology. But I feel as though, like, if you know how to use technology for the right purposes, we can benefit humanity in a lot of ways. It just depends on how we use it. Like, for example, for music. If you didn't know, music is tuned to a certain frequency to mess with your subconscious mind. And I don't know the exact frequency number, but I know
438 versus 432.
Yeah, 432, exactly. 432. You know, if you actually have listened to songs tuned to those two frequencies, and you do hear a slight difference. It's like a slight difference, but apparently 432 is the same hertz that your heart beats at and stuff like that. Stuff like that, you know, like, technology is not all the way bad, but let's say if we did turn the music to 432 hertz, or if we change the frequency of me hearing you through these headphones to make it sound more harmonic. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on how you use it. And these people know how to use it. That's how they're able to fuck shit up.
And that's why
that might go back to your question.
Sorry, everything's used to disharmony, right? They're using everything to get us out of harmony, whether, like we said, food, water, frequent, you know, sound, music, movies, television, you name it. It's all to take us out of that natural frequency. That is, you know, we're supposed to live off the land, not live in these, you know, concrete jungles and shit.
Speaking,
I mean, look at us, man.
Yeah,
epicenter of a concrete tomb right now. Really.
Yeah, right.
Surrounded by other concrete tombs,
and there's just Wi-Fi all over the place, right? And there's lights and noise and everything that just, it's not natural for the body. So, you know, we do everything we can to be healthy, but the environment that we live in isn't even healthy. So how can we maximize our health if our surrounding, you know, that gets back into terrain theory.
There's a whole thing in big cities that's referred to as light pollution. Oh, I mean, like just like not being able to see the sky.
That's a real thing. We try looking into you might see some stars, but yeah, if you drive like an hour or two away from New York City and you look back, you can see like the cloud. It looks like Gotham City.
Yep.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, it's like a overcast. You can actually see the illumination from the city. Even if you're like a couple of miles away, you'll see how Times Square just illuminates the sky.
Well, you can see it from Hoboken, right? You look across the river and man, it's like New York City's like boom.
Yeah. And like living
that might be the answer to your question earlier, where it's like, you know, what's the purpose of hiding this technology or hiding the knowledge? It might be because some of these people, like Zuckerberg and Musk and all these people, they've harnessed the secret knowledge and they're using the technology, which could benefit us, but they're using it to fuck us all up and make us fight and make us live miserable lives, man. Dude, I just quit my job recently. It's such a fucking load lifted off of me. It's insane.
Congrats. You know?
Thank you, dude. I hope it works out. I hope I don't have to fucking get back into that. What job was it?
If you don't mind me asking.
What's that?
Like, what job was it? If you don't mind me asking.
I was stocking soda. I worked for Pepsi, and you know they're a good company, but you know, super super understanding, really really cool people and everything that work at the level. I live in Tucson, Arizona, so you know I can say that they were great people there, but the work sucked. I mean, I'm gone for 10 to 12 hours a day from my house. Sundays it's like 8 hours, but you know, and I've got dogs that I want to be around more often, and like I have this podcast that I'm trying to focus on, and I have goals of my own, but I'm getting paid just enough to live someone else's dream, live the CEO and the shareholders of Pepsi's dream for damn near minimum wage, not minimum wage, like above minimum wage, but not enough to fucking be like, yeah, I'm willing to beat my body up and I'm willing to fucking like sacrifice time that I want to, you know, spend other ways. I'm willing to, you know, do this other shit. No, man, like it's not enough money that I was getting to not live that way, especially with how unsure I feel like times are. Man, it sucks, dude. I think everyone should get away from the system if they possibly can. And, you know, I just did it, you know, recently. I've done it before in my past, but dude, it sucks. It sucks the way that these companies have holds over you and they make you, like I said, live their dream, live the CEO's dream, live the shareholder's dream. Don't care about your own dream. Like, fuck that. It sucks.
You're giving them their dream. Yeah. You're working for their dream. Exactly. Yep.
You're paying their bills.
Yep.
Shit. Yeah. 10 times over.
And who knows? I mean, this world might just delete tomorrow, you know, in the climate that we're living in right now. You know, it might be like it might be a psychological operation. I believe it is. But this whole, you know, threat of nuclear war going on right now, you know, at the push of a button, a person with an ego can just say, I'm done. You know, get their persona in the way, get their whole ego and their pride. They could click a button and all the world's nuclear arms can just eradicate the entire planet. Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not trying to evoke fear in people, but like, you know, we're living our lives, you know, something 9 to 5 every single day, 5 days a week. You only get 2 days off. And, you know, what are we really living that for?
Yeah.
You know, the people that we're living it for, now they're taking that power, that knowledge that we're supplying for them. We're giving them the opportunity to accrue that knowledge. And then it's being turned against us in return. And that's what really messes me. And that's, you know, that's a big reason why I guess we also started this podcast, is to just try to inform people and in some way, you know, hopefully reach that level in the atmosphere that they're at. And instead of using that knowledge against the people, to use that same knowledge for the people, to benefit the people, resonate them at that level.
Oh, they'll buy you guys out when you get to that level, you know. That's
I wanted.
No, man. My dad said something that really resonated with me, dude. Like, you know, a while ago, he said he's gonna work on the day that he dies. He said that, and he wasn't happy about it. A lot of people will. A lot of people will wake up that morning. They'll go to work, and after they get home, they'll fucking die.
Yep.
And they'll work a job that they don't like. Man, if I'm gonna work, I'm gonna work a job that I fucking enjoy. So. You know,
Yeah, that's the way it should be, man.
For everybody, dude. Yep. I don't care if you're a piece of shit. You should work a job that you at least enjoy. People that I hate should work a job that they enjoy.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One life, dude. So, yeah.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. This has been fucking awesome. I think we definitely got to get together again for one of these, because this has been one of the dude, this is a great one. Great conversation here. It was a pleasure. So why don't you guys plug your stuff? Let people know where they can find you, things you're working on. Get the interest up, man, because I want to send people your way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can find us anywhere at, you know, the Mind's Eye. You can find us on YouTube, TikTok, anywhere you can type in the Mind's Eye, we're there. Okay. We're working on exclusive things at the moment that we would like to share soon. But
yeah, Mind's Eye podcast on TikTok specifically, mm-hmm. and on Instagram.
We drop an episode every Saturday. If you want to get your mind blown, come to the Mind's Eye.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much. That's awesome.
Thank you. This is so fun. We got to talk about this more. I feel like we just scratched the surface of it.
Oh, yeah. This is for hours. That's why I looked up. I'm like, holy shit. It's already been over 2 hours. Damn.
Wow. Shit. I didn't even feel it.
No, not at all. Ryan, what do you got going now that you're free?
Oh, shackles. Yeah, dude. Yeah, this was great. Really, really awesome episode. Yeah, dude, just the same old stuff, man. Just going to be focusing on the show more. So, yeah, man, dangerous world. That's what it is. Always.
Excellent. Find all my stuff on Great Deception Podcast, Instagram, Patreon. Merch is out there. Go check out. You know where to find it. Go to Instagram, hit the link tree. Everybody's got a link tree. Go click on it. You'll find my stuff. Gentlemen, this has been great. We'll have to do it again for sure. All right, guys. Man. Everyone be good. Stay strong. Question.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.